Thank you, Johnson family. One stanza, we'll sing the middle stanza of Jesus, Your Name. Jesus, Your Name is Healing. Everybody singing, Jesus, Your Name. Jesus, Your Name is Healing. Jesus, Your Name gives sight. Jesus, Your Name will free every captive. Jesus, Your Name is life. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for this wonderful privilege to share the Word of God. That's right. Share the Word of God. Lord, no one can handle that responsibility. So, Lord, may God the Holy Spirit come into this place and the results will give the glory and honor to Jesus Christ. For this we ask in His holy name. Amen and amen. Pastor Lonnie, welcome. Glad to have you here. And the missus, we're happy to have you here. They're the pastor of the Vista Samoan Church. Thank you for worshiping with us. I'm always honored when another area pastor will come to hear God's Word and in this place. So thank you for gracing our presence here. The title of our message for this afternoon, The Lord Will Provide a Fearful Burden. The Lord will provide a fearful burden. Several weeks ago, I think most of you have been aware and you've been following the earthquake in China. It tore through the countryside and killed thousands. But what I remember most as I listened to the reports, the news reports, is the tragedy of a school in which hundreds of young people lost their lives in a collapsed building. But what struck me about that is that, you know, China has instituted or established a one-child limit per family. And so a number of individuals that had lost their child lost their only child. How sad that is. That makes this story that I'm going to talk about one of the strangest, if not the most understood passage in all the Holy Scriptures. Now, I have a number of sermons. I imagine a pastor that has been around a while probably has several sermons about Abraham and Isaac. And I've given my theological explanations. The father of the faithful needs testing, and that's true. I preach that, and I believe it's true. I preach that God can resurrect. The son was to be killed, God can resurrect. I preach that, and that's true. But I'd like to be real with you this afternoon. Is that all right? Can I be real with you? Can I tell you what I really feel? Now, if you heard a voice saying, take your son or daughter, your only son or daughter, you know, the good one, the one you like, the one you love, the one that everybody loves. The lovable one. Sacrifice him or her. Kill them on the altar. Sacrifice your one and only son or daughter. You know, at that moment, I think if I had that kind of speech coming to me, I would say, I think I ate the lamb chops too late. Now, in that genre, lamb chops fit. Today, we would say apple pie. And maybe it caused me to have a vision that was not clear. I'd like to spend a moment about the challenge of the story. Abraham, asked by God to slay his son, his only son. How do you, and so I'd like to spend a moment talking about the challenge of letting go. The challenge of letting go. How do you let go your son or your daughter? There was a report out about a week ago about the farmers in Afghanistan. The government has cracked down on them with their poppy plants, so they have to grow other things. And some of them have been forced, because not all farmers are landowners. Some have been forced, now I don't agree with it, but they have been forced to give up their daughters to settle their debts. I don't agree with that, but that's the report that's come out. How do you do that? How do you give up? How do you let go? Having served in the military, I can tell you one of the hardest things to do is to wave goodbye to your loved one. Or you could be the loved one itself and wave bye to your family as you go far away or into a war zone. There's nothing more difficult than that. I don't miss that at all. The challenge of letting go. But as difficult as it is to let go, we live in a paradoxical world where we let go. Isn't that strange? It's difficult to let go, but we let go every day. You've heard of people who leave their babies at the fire station. Have you heard of that? How do you do that? We live in a paradoxical world where it's difficult to let go, but people let go every day. Why do you think people are orphans? Because somebody has let go. Oftentimes, people let go for various reasons. Sickness, they're not able to take care of someone, so they have to let go. Sometimes we let go because of immaturity. We're not able to take care of the situation, so we let go. Paradoxical world. Difficult to let go, but we live in a world where we let go. My parents, when they were living toward the later years of their life, they took in a baby who was left on the curb in North Carolina. It's just left right in the street on the curb. So my parents took the baby in and kept her there for 2 years. And several years later, the mother came back. The mother had been on drugs, and she was better, and she came back and took her child back. I'm telling you, there was nothing harder than my parents letting that baby go. In fact, they were never the same again. Shortly, and really just a few years later, both of my parents were dead. I'm convinced the stress of letting that baby go was too much for them to handle. Letting go. It's difficult to let go, but we live in a world, paradoxically, where we let go. We don't talk about it much, but separation and divorce deals with letting go. I don't know how hard that is, but it must be hard to have given yourself to someone totally, and then all of a sudden you let go. I mean, that works on a person. That's hard. That's why divorce and separation is so difficult, because you're letting go. You know, sin will cause you to let go of good things. Happens all the time. People give their heart to the Lord, join a church, And sometimes we don't talk about this. Within months, they're gone, never to want to be a part of that again when it was good for them. Sin will cause you to let go even things that are good. Now back to the story. Abraham builds an altar, sets up the altar. There's a whole sermon on his son being willing to be tied down to the altar. His son is tied to the altar. Abraham raises his hand in the air with a knife in his hand. And the Lord calls out, "Abraham, Abraham," says it twice for emphasis. And he stops the sacrifice. And there in the thickets, caught by its horns, is a ram. And Abraham gets the ram and sacrifices the ram. And just as he predicted, the Lord provided the sacrifice. And so the Bible says they called the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Well, Pastor, I heard you say the title of your sermon was "The Lord Will Provide a Fearful Burden." Help me understand that. Well, let me help you. A fearful burden. There were 270 or so thousand people last month that lost their homes to foreclosure. Tell them, can you tell them that the Lord will provide? That's the fearful burden. We live in a world where, you know what happens to us? Now, I happen to believe the Lord will provide. I believe that with all my heart. But you know what happens? We confuse the Lord will provide with man will provide. Oh, y'all missed that. Now, we have good people. We do. In this country, there are a lot of good people. And we really mean well. But there's sometimes we just don't come through. We may mean to provide, but we can't always. So we get that confused. Let me tell you, you could lose anything you have on this earth at any time. You could lose anything you have at any time on this earth. I hope you got that. It's not very comforting. And that's the fearful burden. And we're living in that kind of time. You're one step, if you lose your job, some of you would not be able to keep what you have. That's fearful. Watching the news, a family in Wisconsin watch their home float down the river. Did you see that? They stood up there and watched their home float down the river with everything they had in there. And they didn't have flood insurance. You could lose, and they seem like good people. That's the fearful burden. But yet we say the Lord will provide. Can we really say that? If this story is true, and I believe it is, God's name is on the line. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. God's name is on the line. Why would Abraham follow such an instruction? To go and possibly kill his son, why would he follow that? Well, I'd like to share with you some of my thoughts, just a few ideas on that. First of all, there is nothing in this life that we need so much as to do the will of our Father in heaven. That is the most important thing that you can do on planet Earth, is follow the will of our Father in heaven. Can you say amen to that? That's it, number one. Number two, God Himself will provide a lamb. It's a want that only God can satisfy. We need a sacrifice, and God provides. Our problem is we try to provide the lamb, and we can't. How many of us have tried to be good lately? I've said this in one of my other sermons. Wake up one morning and make a decision that you're going to do good. I know that's not proper English. Wake up one morning and decide, this is the day I'm going to do everything right. And then I want you to call me and let me know how you do. You're laughing because you've been there and you've tried that. God has to provide the lamb. We're good in trying to provide it ourselves when we can't. And number three, God asked from Abraham less than he gives to us. God gives so much more to us. Was God playing with Abraham? Is he playing with us? Have you discovered, now this is just my way of, have you discovered that God sometimes takes us to the very edge before he helps us? He waits till our hands up in the air with the knife coming down. Come on now, you can say it. It's true. Is he playing with our fears when he does that? Let me tell you, God is not playing with our fears. You can know that. You got enough on your mind with the devil. He has enough that he's putting on our plates. God's not kicking us when we're down. Amen? That's not God. The devil gives us all we can handle. He messes with us. But I will tell you that for most of us, we never know how much we need a thing until we're brought to a certain point. Now, you know that I've served in the military. I had the privilege of serving at Parris Island as a chaplain. Paul, I see you smiling at me. That's where they, on the East Coast, from the Mississippi on the East Coast side, they go to Parris Island. From the other side of the Mississippi, they go here in California to MCRD down here at San Diego. Well, I was at Parris Island, and we had a chapel that seats 1,000 people. You couldn't get a seat on Sunday. Recruits going through boot camp get religion. In fact, a lot of them signed up to get away from home. And when those drill instructors get through with them, home looks real good. Come on, am I right? Come on, Marines. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And boy, did they come see the chaplain. You know that Sergeant Major. You know they'll come see me. And I'd send them on back. Send them on back to the drill instructors. Sometimes we need to be brought to the point of our greatest need. Let me tell you something about that knife being raised and God stopping Abraham right in the midst. Let me tell you, I don't want you to forget. What I'm going to tell you is something simple, but I want you never to forget it. Are you ready? God is never late. Oh, God. Y'all missed that. Somebody should have shouted. I should have had one person shout. God is never late. Never. You got to remember that. In this day and age, you got to remember that. God is never late. That's right. You get what Joe said, but he's seldom early. I agree. If God is late, then he's not God. If he's late, this planet would just be hurled into space. Everything happens on time with God. Everything. And so if you're going through something, God is allowing you to go through something. But he can stop it whenever he wants. God is never late. And his resources never give out. That's why I can say God will provide. His resources are boundless. Never run out. All the buildings are gone. Most of the tents were gone. Most of the trees were destroyed. And 1,800 acres of this property was destroyed. The storm blew in so quickly that 120 people in the camp could hardly find shelter. It was in Iowa, 45 miles south of Sioux City, Iowa, and 45 miles north of Omaha, Nebraska. I know the area well since I pastored in Lincoln and preached a number of times in Iowa. And then when I did seminary training and had to do tent meetings, we did an evangelistic tent meeting all summer in Des Moines. So I really resonate with all of the flooding and all that's going on in that region. The Boy Scouts, leaders, ages 13 to 18, were on a week of training when a tornado hit their camp. 40 were injured and 4 were dead. An F3 tornado, 145 miles per hour, cut a path 14 miles long, and they said that it came through there like a bowling ball. That's why I mentioned fearful burden. 4 were killed. Josh 13, Sam 13, Ben 14, and Aaron 13. Good young men. Josh had just finished 8th grade. He said he was a natural leader, inquisitive, confident. Good young man. Gone. Sam, homeschooled, worked in his church, in the Southwest Church of Christ. He wrote in his Facebook page, he listed his interests, and his first interest was Jesus. Second was football, his third was the Huskers, and then he likes to play with the Xbox video games and play on the Roadrunner basketball team, which was a homeschool basketball team. Gone! Killed! Gone! Good young man. Ben. Caring. Kind. Aaron. His spare time. 13 years old, his spare time, he made pillowcases for the local hospitals. Took his own money, took them to the hospital. That's what he did in his spare time. Made blankets for the Humane Society. With his own money and his own spare time, gone. Now, how in the world do you tell their parents, the Lord will provide? You see the burden that I'm talking about? See, we take those stories and we take them, we make them so simple. That's not easy. I tried to make some sense out of this. And I say, Lord, why is that story in the Bible. It must be something else you're trying to tell us. There must be a bigger picture. And the only thing that I could come up with, could it be that this story of Abraham and Isaac and the test was one of the most important scriptures and passages in all the scriptures? Could it be that it's not just for us, but it's for the whole world and the whole universe? Could it be that God and the angels and the unfallen beings, when they heard about the plan of salvation, that the Son of God would go and die for you, that they couldn't understand it? And so God set up an object lesson. So that the whole universe could see. And so, centuries later, when Jesus came and became the sacrifice for you and I, and the knife was raised, was it stopped? Didn't stop. God was willing to go through. He was willing to die for you and me. God, isn't God good? What a God we serve. God knew exactly what we needed. And you can't provide it for yourself no matter what you try and do. Only Jesus could fix the mess we're in, folks. Only Jesus could save you from your sins. And that's exactly what we need. God. What a God. You know, that's why we show up every Sabbath. We know it's the seventh, but we show up for deeper than that. Amen? It's deeper. It's Jesus. Thank you, Sergeant Major. I really listened to you, what you had to say about that. Oh, really? You got it? They got to know Jesus. The other stuff, they'll get. The Lord, you got to know this. In this day in which we're living, you can still say, even though bad things happen to good people, you can still say, the Lord will provide. How many believe you can say that today? Amen. Does that mean that nothing bad will ever happen to you? No. We need to stop that kind of philosophy. We need to stop that. That cripples us. That's a fearful burden that we carry. But I want to let you know the God that you serve is greater than all of that. I don't know what reason he took those four young men, those good young men. I don't know. I don't know. But God will provide. It goes way beyond just that. Maybe we'll see him again in heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Loving Father, what faith? Lord, Abraham was willing to follow you all the way. Could it be, Lord, that the position that you had for Abraham required that kind of testing, full obedience, because he was going to be the father of the faithful, that he was going to be the leader of the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians? Could it be, Lord, because of what you had for him, you had to take him to that point? Could it be, Lord, that in these last days, you have to prepare people to take a message for a world that needs Jesus more than ever? Lord, so prepare us. Oh Lord, what fearful thing we're asking now. We're asking you to prepare us. How fearful is that? Lord, we might have to give up some of our ways. We might have to follow your will. Lord, we can't do it of our own. Strengthen us. Give us a heart of obedience. Give us a heart of love. And I would be remiss if I did not end this prayer. As there are heads about and your eyes are closed, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to accept this Jesus that I just got through talking about. And what a fearful time it is when you ask people to give their hearts to the Lord. They wonder what will be the outcome. Well, I'm going to tell you that the Lord will provide. Yes, he will. If there's a man, woman, boy, girl, you've not done, if you've done it, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not into the hand raising just so some ego could be stroked. If you've not done it and you want to say yes to him for the first time, I'd like to see your hand so the angel can record that. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the very first time, I don't know who fits that bill, raise your hand, let the angel record it. You can let me know. You can come and join my Sabbath school class. You can study and learn more about him. If someone fit that bill would like to say yes to him. My next appeal is for all of us. We need made up minds. We need to be able to, without any doubt whatsoever, to be able to say, Jesus, wherever you want me to go and whatever you want me to do, I want to do it in your name, knowing that you will provide whatever it is I need. If you want to say yes to that, would you stand with me? You're saying, yes, Lord, I'd like to follow you wherever you lead, wherever you say go. And I know that you will provide, whatever that means. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the rededication of hearts again. Lead us and guide us. We say that in Jesus' name. Amen. And just remain standing. And we'll end our service. I invite my elders to join me at the door. One will come with me to the front foyer, and the other one can stand at the door there. We invite you, if you would, just for one stanza of O Jesus, I Have Promised, 330.